I'm going to be sharing today on a book of the Bible, James, and this is it's been a blessing to me because with the COVID pandemic and everything, myself and John Gunter, we basically started to memorize the book of James, and maybe every week, plus or minus, we go through a verse per week. He's currently in Titus. I'm still trailing behind in James 5. But this book has been a blessing to me, and I would like to encourage or share today some things I've learned just from the first chapter, chapter 1 through 7. But before we do, I'm going to pray again. I'm going to have us bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray. Father, we thank you so much. I thank you for how you've used this in my life, and I thank you for those you've brought here again today. I'm so grateful for them, for every person here that you have a plan for. Just pray, God, that you will use your word to bless them today and use me, oh God. In spite of my shortcomings, I pray, God, that you use me, and I pray that this will be a blessing to everybody here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what I'm trying to talk about today is just having us have a perspective when it comes to trial, just to encourage us. I do not want to sound like I have everything I know about trials. Or no, I don't have it locked down. I don't think anyone does. But I just want to encourage us from the Word of God how we, what kind of perspectives we should have about trials. Okay, we're going to go to the book of James, and before we open up to James chapter 1, verse 1 through 7, I just want to share something about James. James is believed to be the half-brother of Jesus. During Jesus' ministry, he wasn't saved. You could see that in Mark 3, 31 through 35. He wasn't saved. But then later on, he gave his life to Christ. The same James was with the elders in the book of Acts, and later on he had to write this book to, we believe, Jewish Christians who have been dispersed from Judea and all over because of persecution. So after Stephen was persecuted or martyred, was killed for Christ, the Christians then, the Jewish Christians, were all spread around. They left and fled, and he's writing, we believe he's writing to these Christians in various places. Now, these Christians were facing certain tribulations, trials at that time. Not so much persecution in these areas. Now, they were persecuted in Israel and all, but now they're facing different types of trials. And one of this, specifically, you will see this in James 5. You will see a little bit of this when it came to in James 2 also. You've got the rich or the wealthy taking advantage of the lower class. Okay, this was seen. And if you look at James 5, you will see where James talks about the rich who murdered, they condemned and murdered the poor, and they could not even resist them. And he basically told them they're going to be punished for these things. These were the type of trials they were facing. But there were also trials of people, some of these Christians, perhaps in the new area they found themselves, where they were somewhat blessing and cursing from the same mouth that you will see in chapter 3. It says, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So you see this going on, and James is trying to encourage Christians at this time, Jewish Christians, we believe, and to just help them have a perspective on their trials. Now, I just want to encourage us, because we all are facing different types of trials, some much more than others, so we cannot compare. But whether we like it or not, if you go through this earth, you are going to face some trial. Whether it's a trial of just growing up and knowing, as a teenager, knowing what you should be doing, trying to figure things out, whether it's a trial of someone who is trying to stay pure for marriage, whether it's a trial of a parent who is trying to raise a teenager, or to be a father who is trying to be a good a father or a good son to his parents that are getting older in age, there's going to be some type of trial. You're all facing one type of trial or the other. Now, even there is different forms, the loss of a loved one. Some of us have people that are very, very ill, that they probably are going to carry that illness for the rest of their life. Some of us have people who are struggling with some habits. There's going to be one form of a trial or the other. So I want to encourage you, because there's a difference between us and non-Christians. Okay, some non-Christians will go through this. And can you imagine having the perspective that you somehow, by chance, came to be? Maybe you by chance came to be. So you don't know if an asteroid is going to hit the Earth any moment now, and we're doomed. This Earth that just seems to be floating around the sun, literally just floating around, and if anything should happen to it, then we don't know what will happen. Maybe we'll be gone like the dinosaurs. If we that's the perspective of a non-believer. Okay, that's a perspective of a non-believer. They don't. So how do they face these trials? They don't have an explanation. They're looking for that perfect life. They're looking for the life whereby all everything will be perfect. And I'm sorry, I'm very practical. There's no such thing. There's no such thing until we get to heaven. It's a sin-cursed world. This is what we are having to go through. Through the sin of Adam and Eve, We have a part to play in that indirectly. It's a sin-cursed world. So these trials are going to come. It's not going to be a perfect world, but you should pray for things to get better. I'm not saying you should just accept it and deal with it. No, you should pray for things to get better. My point to you today is, what perspective are you having as a Christian? What perspective are we going to have? Are we different from non-believers? Non-believers will look like they're doomed. That's why there's nothing to live for. If they don't have Christ, they don't have a hope. They don't know that someone is using this to build them up. There's nothing for them. Well, they're doomed. It's the feeling you get. It's like things are caving in. Now the pandemic. Now it seems like the world has lost its mind. Yeah, you look doomed. But as a Christian, we have directions and advice in the book of James. So I'm going to ask us to read the book of James. We're going to open up to James chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. And if it's up there, okay. So we're going to read James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So my first point, and by the way, this is by way of reminder. This is just to remind us. It's not like something wow, extraordinary. It's just we just want to stay true to the Bible. I don't have any other ideas or anything to bring to you. It will all fail because it never lasts. But we know the Word of God lasts, so we'll just keep it simple. Stick to the Bible. So my first point to you is this, that trials will occur. If you want to go with the P's, you say trials are predictable. They will occur. Some of you are going through them right now. Some of them have gone through a phase of it. You've gotten out of it and you're back. You might be going back into it. Some of us don't even know we're going through a trial because we've never asked why in the world are we going through these rough times. Let me show you in the Bible. I'm going to take you to James 1. Verse 2. It says, count it all joy. First of all, we'll go over the joy part later on, but let's keep moving. Count all joy, my brothers. These are Christians. These are not non-believers. These are Christians, okay? But it's believed that they are Jewish Christians, but still Christians. when you meet trials of various kinds. It's not saying if you will meet trials. It's not saying maybe. It's saying when. I've kind of struggled with it, and it's good to see that the Bible makes it very clear, because having grown up in a certain movement where you believe in the name it and claim it, and you believe that everything will be perfect on this earth, it's hard to figure that out, because you see it's not happening. So is it my faith or what is it? No, the Bible is making it clear you will face trials. And maybe we are just taking one word out of context, or maybe it's just we are trying to put that in there. I'm going to have us go to Job. Job 5, verse 7. Now, Job, as we know, went through all forms of trials. I mean, if anyone went through trials of wealth, trials of fame, everything, and then his health. I mean, basically, literally, it seems like he was having liver problems. His breath was smelly, everything. I mean, he's got beds, he's got sores all over. His wife left him. And everything you could work for, your kids, they were all killed one day at a get-together. Everything gone. This is what he says. But man is born to what? To trouble. As sparks fly upwards. It's bound to happen. The trouble is going to happen. Challenges are going to happen. And I hate to say this, because some people will say, no, don't say that word. Well, it's not being jinxed or anything. This is what's going to happen. This is what the Bible is teaching. So if we know that the trials are going to come, and which some of us have acknowledged are going through that right now, even, again, I will just point out, getting older. The other day, I was talking to John, he and I were just talking, and we're like, he's getting closer to 50, I'm getting closer to 45. And all of a sudden, we're like, look, if you break a bone now, you might not, it might have a struggle to let it heal. If anything goes wrong right now, it's just a little bit more difficult than when you were 20. It's just the reality. I look at the elderly that I work with in Livonia, Michigan, and I think of them, I see 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds. I mean, again, everybody different. A 92-year-old or 96-year-old who is still going to the gym. And you're like, when I get old, I would like to be like you, sir. And then you have some people who've got a lot going on, even at 70. That's aging. It's going to happen. There are some challenges we'll have with that. Some challenges we have day by day with school. Some people don't understand why they're going to school or just learning a topic. And it's a trial to help you to get to another phase and be a better person. Next. So first thing is, trials, they're predictable. And now we're talking about the perspectives. Okay, so the P's. The next thing is that trials, and this is just to remind us, trials will lead to perseverance. Or steadfastness, or consistency. This is in the Bible. We're going to look at James 1, verse 3. We'll say, it says, count it all joy, my brothers, count it all joy, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. What's steadfastness here? Patience, like I said, endurance, constancy, steadfastness. Just being constant, persevering, enduring through trials. And of course, it's with what attitude? It's not just, okay, I just went through it. No, having the attitude, having fruits of the Spirit to go through that trial, being consistently showing those fruits of the Spirit. As we age, we look at it like, oh man, I'm swearing and cursing and say, look, this is just, I wish I was never at this age, you know. Or do we have the a better attitude, as we have someone who is sick, it's very challenging. They ask you, what do you want to do now? What do you do next? Should we pull the plug? And you just say, no, I'm open to reason. I show love. I have peace. I have joy in my heart. Gentleness, meekness, you're showing all of this while you're dealing with the situation. You're consistent. You're steadfast through this. We're dealing with the trial. We're dealing with the trial of COVID. Pastor's had to go through a lot, and thank God for using him through that time, because it's been a blessing to me in multiple ways. How I dealt with it in the hospital, how I dealt with it with other friends in the U.S. who decided they're not going to open up the church. And I was like, look, we have to do both. That trial, you have to deal with it. You have to do what's right. Love your neighbor, yet you have to be consistent. Serving the Lord, doing this is steadfastness through trial. How do we talk about the government? I mean, it's like, well, they don't care about, some people use some words for them. How do we behave in these situations? How do we approach these situations? Steadfastness with handling with our colleagues. Some people may believe they should get vaccinated. Some people don't believe they should get vaccinated. Some people say they should wear masks. Some people say don't wear the mask. How do you deal with that in the church? Are you going to just say, oh, you're the doctor, I'm the doctor, so whatever you say doesn't count? Or are you just going to say, wait, let me be humble here, let me listen to what the other person is saying? Because often I've learned more from church and then gone back to apply it at work or just interacting with other people. Know where people are coming from. It's easy for a doctor to say, okay, or a physician or a nurse to say, oh, you know what, shut everything down while you still have work. You have a job, you could pay your bills, but what about those people who can't? Then you could reason and see, again, that's steadfastness, God working in our hearts. It's not a perfect situation. God, it's a struggle. But I thank God, I'm not perfect, but God, I thank him for what he's doing in my heart. Same thing for us. We desire the word of God through the pandemic. Steadfastness. I'm going to also read Romans 2, verse 6 and 7. And it says that he will render to each one according to his works, to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. And we'll talk about that a little later, just in a little bit. But again, what is this steadfastness about? I kind of say, okay, good fruits. You could go to Galatians 5 about the fruits of the Spirit. But what the patience, the steadfastness and the patience is about is in well-doing, doing good through your trials. How are you handling your trials? How are we handling our trials? Are you challenging me to handle my trials? Are we having an attitude of, I'm done with this? Or are we just saying, God, I know I'm weak, help me through this. I don't know why this is happening, but I know that you have what's best for me at the end of the day. So we talked about the predictability, we talked about perseverance, and we now talk about perfection. And some people may want to start saying, oh, what are you saying? Let's get into it. So trials lead to perfection. We have to figure out what kind of perfection I'm talking about. Perfect here is talking to being complete. Okay? And let's read James chapter 1, verse 4. Let me show you in the text. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So is this saying, oh, you're going to be perfect and you're going to be walking around in holiness, you've got everything all... No, this is not sinless perfection. This is just saying that you're complete, you're mature as a Christian. You've been going through these trials so often that after a while your soul, you're steadfast, and once it's have its effect, you're mature. Doesn't mean you don't get faced, but you're mature and you're like, okay, you know, how can we consistently, you're handling this trial in the sense that, okay, you know, I wish this never happened, but God is in control. I'm going to deal with this person in the attitude of love. I'm going to deal with this person in the attitude of forgiveness. I'm going to deal with this person with kindness. I'm going to have self-control. I'll give you an example. In our house, there was a time just, I struggled with being late. I struggled with being late all the time to church. And one of the elders is notorious for being, what's going on? You know, and you could tell his, so this elder, he does this with all of the fruit of the Spirit, trying, just does his best not to, but you're like, oh, he's upset, okay, and I need to get this right. So guess what happens? When I know, okay, I'm not handling this right, is when you get to the point that you want to get your kids out, that you do not care what's going on, you just want them, let's go, to the point that you're raising your voice, you're being harsh. That's not fruit of the Spirit. You could think of examples in your own lives. I'm not going, but that's an example. That's not fruit of the Spirit. And I thank God, God has worked on my heart. But that's something that, you know, okay, yeah, you could be angry, but the Bible says sin not. So you could be angry that, wow, we need righteous indignation. Well, we need to be in church. We need to go serve God. But hey, we're getting upset about it. We are having the wrong attitude about it. I mean, what will your kids say? Well, dad is an elder at church being nice, and then at home is the devil. Fruits of the Spirit as we go through this. Perseverance, perfection. Again, this is not, no, it's just mature. After a while, you're like, God, you keep teaching me this same lesson again and again and again, and I think I get it, and I'll do what you say. I will submit to you. These kids that I'm trying to get to church on time, they're not my own. I'm a steward of them. This situation, you know, you're walking through it. I need to wake up earlier. I need to get things ready earlier. Okay, God, help me to get through it. I'll give another example, just briefly. Through my training in fellowship, among other challenges I had was I wasn't good at hiding stuff. Unlike my other, so when I say fellowship, I'm talking about being in after med school and going for training in GI or gastrointestinal issues. I wasn't the best at hiding things. You could, if there's 100 people in the room, you could look at me and you could tell. He doesn't know this concept well. Now, my colleagues could hide it very, very well. They just have the bravado, like they know what they're talking about. When you ask them, they don't know. But one day, the chief of the department now said, I think I worked with him, I was like, you don't know your liver stuff, do you? And then I got called into the office. Oh, Lord, please don't let me get kicked out of the program. And he just ripped me apart, and he said, within, I don't know how much time, he said, 2 weeks or so, you must get all this, you must know this and this and this. Now, I could take one of two things. I could complain like it's harassment or whatever, or I could take the, thank God for being a Bible-believing church, I could take the approach that this is a trial. Whether he has an attitude or not, he has his, God is working on him, but is this true of me? And the answer was yes. Well, the other guys, I could name a bunch of them, do not know this stuff. And even my seniors don't know this stuff. How come it's picking up? Well, do you need to know this stuff or not? And I praise God. I thank God through fire and everything. I learned what I was supposed to learn. And it was just interesting to finish up and see that, oh, you know, I'm very comfortable with that area. But a lot of my colleagues don't know this area. But I, again, was I happy? Was I having joy when I was going through it? Was I happy-go-lucky? No, I was upset. I was thinking all sorts of things, that this was unfair. But the, again, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness. Be sincere. Be open to reason. These are the fruits. And how do we apply them as we go through these trials? How we, it's like this, we have this lens we have to look through, or these guardrails. You have to stay within them as you're handling all these things. And it's not something that you set for just the future, or you say, oh, it's only when I'm dealing with people at school, or when I'm dealing with people at church, or when I'm dealing with people at, in the, no, it's something that becomes you. That's your life. That's what you, everything you go through, you apply this, you apply it to church, you take some of the things you're applying to church, you apply it to your work, to your family, to relatives. Shamala knows examples where we've dealt with similar situations, and then we're like, this is happening with this relative, and this is happening with my mom, this is happening at school. Like, and as you have to now, you can't try and fix all of them. You work, let the Holy Spirit work through you to gain the fruits of the Spirit. Yield yourself to God. And that's the kind of perfection we're talking about. We're never going to be perfect. God is working through the sanctification process to get us to the point when we pass on, we will be perfect with the Lord. This is talking about just being mature, being complete. And the last one, we talked about the perspective. We talked about it's a predictable, perseverant, perfect. And now we're talking about the prize. I'm going to have us go to look in James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. I know we have to have Holy Communion, so we'll move quickly. Blessed is the man who does what? Remains steadfast. Doing what? Under trial. Why? For when he has stood the test, what will happen? He will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I used to struggle with this. That what I'm trying to point out is receiving the crown of life. This is the thing, maybe we'll get a crown or so. I don't think the Bible is saying this here. This is just talking about eternity. Eternity. This is not saying by works. When you've worked so hard, you're going to earn it. No. We put things in the right order. You're saved. If you're truly saved, the trials will either make you be steadfast or lead you to temptation. And this is a test. If you're truly his child, temptations will persist and you will fall away. Don't get me wrong. If you fall into temptation, doesn't mean that you're not saved. It just means, but a sign will be that Christian will feel horrible and will get back on. 100 times will get back on. Or they keep going in the right direction of steadfastness. That leads on and on, and as we, and it's just proof that, okay, this is, if you want to have proof of your salvation, how do you handle these trials? How do you deal with these situations? How are you growing? Ultimately, this is just saying that, okay, we have a hope, and that's that we will be in heaven someday. That's not the hope that the unbeliever has, or the people who do not believe that there is a God, or there's God, or there's a Trinity or things. No, they don't have that hope. And it's a miserable feeling not having that. Maybe as a young person, you feel like you know, when you hear of people passing away, even young, and then people going up into their old age, and they have, I mean, is this all to look forward to? To just be, to get old, and then we, you know, so then live it up. Live your life like there's no tomorrow. And maybe that's what's happening. So people go above and beyond to do some dangerous stuff because they want to have the adrenaline rush right now. And not have to do, because they are looking like, if I'm just going to end up, put away in some building and no one's going to care. Well, let me live it up now. Well, we again, like I said, we have a different hope. We have a hope. We know we going. Heaven is our home. We are just pilgrims going through this earth. I'm going to read Romans 2, 6 and 7 again. Well, I'll go to 7, Justin. We read this already, and we're going to go to 7. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. This is the crown of life that we are talking about. So, as I'm wrapping this up, what does it matter? We go back to the second verse of James 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy. You sure want to ask, okay, what's there to be joyful about in someone who's lost a loved one? What's there to be joyful about in someone who is struggling with some challenges? What's there to be joyful about when life is unfair? This is not happy-go-lucky. This is not saying, oh, just be happy. No. It's making sure we have the perspective. I like to flip it this way, and I've done it like 3 times, but think about it again. The perspective of an unbeliever going through these same things that we are going to go through, or that they are looking at this like they're doomed, and they have to go in the route of temptation. Yeah, they will do good most of the time, but they could care less because they don't have to answer to God or anybody. They could care less, and they go fall for temptation. I mean, I talked to Colleen is not here. I talked to Colleen. And she herself says, she does, with Rob being in the hospital, she doesn't know how unbelievers go through this. If you're going through this, you're going to be depressed. There's no hope. So what are we going to do? But a believer has the perspective that, look, my Redeemer, my Savior is holding my hands. I don't know how he's going to go through it, but he's going to get me through this. And he has a plan, and it's to the end of making me more like him. And someday he's going to take me to heaven, and he's going to help me have the right attitude through this. That's the joy we have. I want to encourage us towards that joy. So, again, we talked about perspective. Trials are predictable. They're various kinds. We all are going through some kind of trial or the other. We are all going. It's just, what's the magnitude? Some are going through, some are being persecuted right now. That's another layer on top of this. But what we are talking about in James is most of the others. Now, they were persecuted in Acts. Now, they've gone abroad. Now they are dealing with other challenges. Trials lead to perseverance in the saints. Trials lead to perfection, which is being complete. And trials lead to a prize. In closing, I want to encourage us as we go through these issues of life. I mean, coronavirus is going to come and go by God's grace. Another issue is going to come up. It may not be pandemic. It may not be a global. There's going to be something else. We have to be constant. We have to persevere. I want to encourage us to mature as we go through these things. And for those that are not saved, whether children of church members or visitors, I just want to encourage you. The most important thing is the reason why we were created is to serve him, to glorify God. It's to glorify God. We are sinners, and the wrath of God is hanging on our heads. I want to encourage you, the only person who could save us is our Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid the penalty for our sins on the cross through the blood that was shed. You can't carry that burden on your own. I want to encourage you, if you are not saved, if you do not know Christ, and you're in this room, please reconsider, ask Christ to be your Savior. If you have any questions about this, please ask just feel free to ask myself or Jared or the elders or pastor in another time. But ask, please. I want to encourage you to that end. I'm going to close in prayer. Please, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for this a message. I thank you, God, for how you've used it to be a blessing to me. I just pray to you, God, that when people look, first of all, everyone will be encouraged by this. And I also pray that when we look at that portion of scripture, or when we have our concerns, we could look at this portion of scripture and be encouraged, oh God. And I pray that, God, everyone going through trials, some more than others, God, I just pray, Father, for everyone here. I pray, Father, and those other people in our church who may not be here today, I pray, God, that you help them through this rough time, oh God. I pray that, God, you help us to remain faithful to you. I pray, help us to be steadfast, help us to be complete. Help us, oh God, to keep our eyes on you. And I pray, God, that you help us through this trial, oh God, to overcome them. Help us, oh God, please, if you would take this burden away, oh God, I pray, God, that you bless, help us, oh God, in Jesus' name, and bless the remainder of the activities we'll have for today, and bless the communion. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.